Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast presented by the Union Tribune. I'm Kevin Acey, the Padres beat writer, my boss, Jay Posner. Jay, I just got into St. Louis. You know what? So far, hotter but not as humid as Miami. So I just wanted to give you an update on my welfare.
I'm always interested in your welfare, Kevin. I always add the Padres cities to my phone here. It's showing right now St. Louis is 89 and feels like 97. So
yeah, I would think that's accurate, but
I would call that pretty miserable. I will tell you that in downtown San Diego right now, as we tape this, it is 71, and it feels like 71.
I saw a study the other day. You know, these things that come across your phone. I think it was published in the Union Tribune, at least a story on this study that talked about how San Diego has one of the best climates in the country.
Is that right?
Who used time on and money on this study?
I always love those studies that tell us that. It reminds me of our former boss, Doug Williams, who used to refer to "duh" headlines. That's a "duh" study. But anyway,
these will be outside here. Three games against the Cardinals, who the Padres split four games with. Now, here's what you can talk about. The Padres are playing – that was like launched, winning those final two games, the first one of those on a walk-off in the 12th inning, or maybe it was the 13th, long time ago, I forget, but Eric Hosmer's double. That kind of launched them on the way to, you know, being – I forget what it is, but it's
respectability, maybe?
A winning record since then.
And the Cardinals have been basically treading water since then, since we last saw them, 13-12. So over their last 20, if you add in those two losses of the Padres, basically 13-14 over the past month. So nothing special out of St. Louis. They're three games behind Milwaukee, two and a half behind the Cubs. They're right in the middle of the wild card chase, if you want to get into that this early in the year.
I did look it up, and I saw that they're in the middle of it. They wouldn't, if the season ended today, one of my favorite sayings, at the end of the day, which is the beginning of the evening, a lot of places. But they are right there. They're a good team, and here's the deal. They face a kid tonight, the Padres do, where they have their struggling starter, Jordan Lyles, coming off his worst outing. The Padres will be going against Jack Flaherty. He's 22 years old. They did not face him. Get to him tonight, because tomorrow the Padres are using their bullpen again, and they're going against Miles Mikolas. Is that correct, Jay?
I believe that is correct. Miles was a Padre back in the day and was traded for the legendary Alex Dickerson, who unfortunately showed a brief signs of being a really good left-handed hitter but has not been able to stay healthy for the last couple of years. And meanwhile, Mikolas went to Japan and then came back, and he's got a 2.27 ERA. And has been one of the best pitchers in the National League this year.
Love that story. Be interesting. He beat them last time. I believe that was the 10th of May. And then the 11th of May, as the Cardinals took the first two games of that series at Petco, Luke Weaver, a rookie, threw, what was it, five shutout innings, Jay, and beat the Padres that night as well.
It was. The game ended up high scoring, but he threw five shutout innings. And his best start of the year, his most recent starts have been a little rougher. His ERA is up to 4.35, but he'll be facing Eric Lauer, and as we know, we never know what we're going to get when Eric Lauer goes to the mound for the Padres. And back in the Midwest, he'll be back in the Midwest though, so he should be used to to that weather.
What he can't do is put together two good outings, but he can come back from a bad outing, so that bodes well. Here's the thing, Jay, and it's the takeaway right now, as the Padres sit five games below 500. It's the first time that they have been. It's 31-36. They've won, 8 of 11? They've won four straight series. So the best thing I can say is this. If you'd asked me to look ahead to this series a month ago, I'd have said, oh boy, gonna be rough. Well, I come here and have no expectations whatsoever, other than, you know what, the Padres could take two out of three. And so I guess what I'm saying is there has been progress.
I think that's true. And I think this is a week where we talked about a little bit last week, but going now to play, you know, St. Louis, which is 35-28, and then going to play four against the Braves, who are 37-28. This is another one of those tests for the Padres to see where they stand, and whether some of this progress is due just to playing teams like the Marlins and the Reds, or is it, you know, can they play better against good teams? They did it against the Braves when they were when they were here a week ago, or I guess it was not even a week ago. And now they go against another team that, you know, has historically been good at home, historically has played well against the Padres at home, for whatever that sort of history means. But they have some, you know, some good players. They're missing a good player there. Paul DeJong, their shortstop, is injured, so that that can't be good. But it will be a chance to see Jed Jerko, and
always pleasant.
Always good to see Jed, who has killed the Padres since the trade. But Jed has not been very good lately. I was checking just to see if he comes into this series hot, or if he'll be looking for the Padres to heal him. He's only had 18 at bats in his last 10 games. Only had 2 hits. So clearly a little bit on the outs right now in St. Louis. And we'll see what Mike Matheny does. He didn't play him in that first game at Petco,
right,
which brought all kinds of grief and surprise from Cardinals fans. And we'll see if he gets back in the lineup tonight and what he's able to do against the Padres.
Well, you can always tell the theme that you just touched on there about, you know, who they're coming out to play. And you can always tell Andy Green this year, I mean, you could give him the most a question that is meant to give some criticism, or that is meant to find out something. And if Andy Green wants to be positive, man, he can turn anything. He can turn Eric Lauer getting run out of a game in 2 1/3 innings into, but you know, he made some really good pitches there in the second. I mean, he can do that. Now, that lets you know when Andy Green has a message he's putting out, and his answer just yesterday to a question about the significance of having won 4 straight series, something the Padres haven't done since August of 2015. His answer was, we go and we play 2 tough teams now in St. Louis and Atlanta, and those are going to be a big challenge. That's what it is about. So I just wanted you to know that you are aligned with Andy Green, Jay.
Well, that makes me feel just fantastic. But no, I think he's right. I mean, it doesn't do the Padres any good to sit there and go, wow, we won 4 straight series, and you know, now we're facing a week against the Cardinals and the Braves. And, you know, this is the kind of week where if the Padres don't play well, you could see them going 1-6.
Right, but their manager has been big on being positive, and it's interesting that he has now decided that, hey, you know what? No, we're going to, oh, great, we did this. Now it's time to be even better. And so that's just something that I think that Andy is very purposeful about sending message like, all right, great, all right, now it's time to be even better.
Now let me ask you about tomorrow's game, another bullpen game. Should we I was out at Petco for the last one. We saw Matt Strom give up a first inning home run, and then that was it for the bullpen. What do you think we'll see tomorrow? Will Strom start this game again, assuming he's not needed tonight? Is that kind of the normal plan for this, or could it be different based on the fact of who they're, you know, the kind of lineup they might be facing?
You know, haven't really got into it, and Andy hasn't either, though I've been asking and asking and asking different ways, and I am writing about it today. I've started writing about it already, about, you know, how much these guys like doing it, but they say they can't keep doing it, and just the different challenges in it. I do think it's Matt Strom, who has, because when you put a guy in at the beginning, you want to believe he's not going to put people on, and yes, he gave up that one run, but you know, in these 2 games, he's given up 1 run in his 4 innings, and he's a guy who has proved to them so far that he can get in there and get out of there without having, you know, get them off to a good start without allowing a lot of damage. So I do believe it'll be Matt Strom, but some of that's going to depend on tonight, because look, if he's got a chance to win the night and Matt Strom needs to pitch the 6th or something, because understand that, you know, Kirby Yates and Brad Hand and Craig Stammen didn't pitch yesterday, but I mean, he can't just keep going to his leverage guys all the time. He's got Jose Castillo. I do think that you're going to see Strom at the beginning tomorrow, but it'll be a, you know, it'll be 5 or 6 guys or however many it takes. But the danger in these games, Jay, is, well, what about they don't have a break this week. See, they did it last time and they had a day off.
Right.
They don't have a break this week. And what does tonight's game bring? So it's the day before and then a day and even 2 days after that your bullpen is kind of in danger. Now, that said, they have 9 guys in their bullpen and they have a fair amount of former starters in their bullpen.
Right. And it's obviously a danger when you have a guy like Lyles, who, as you said, is coming off a rough start. And then you have Lauer the next day and you're not sure what you're going to get out of that. So I wonder.
You understand that on Sunday, there's another hole because Joey Lucchesi, who this is for, filling in his spot in the rotation, right, has his rehab start on Thursday. He's not going to be ready. Even if this goes well, perfect, he's, you know, not pitching until next Tuesday against the A's at home. So they're going to have to do this again. I doubt that on Sunday you see this. I think you see, you know, Luis Perdomo, maybe Walker Lockett, maybe it's Kyle Lloyd, somebody from AAA.
Somebody to try to give them more than two or three innings. I'm not saying it to be negative in any way, but I mean, at some point, absolutely, like you said, you've got to, when you don't have a break, you've got to give guys a break a different way, which is to get your starting pitcher to go deeper into the game. Bring a guy up. The other alternative is to put Robbie Erlen out there, certainly not at the start of the game, but it almost looked like Erlen was the guy last week that was sort of the extra innings guy. That if the guys out there didn't come through, okay, we've got Erlen that can go a few innings on the back end.
And look, what was interesting, and it's a sign of progress, a really sad sign of progress, the one where they had, you know, Phil Hughes in and in the middle they had Brian Mitchell wear it for three innings that he took, a billion pitches to get through.
Right.
And then, you know, Corey Spangenberg came in. They had a few more of those last year already to this point. And that was their first one where you said, oh, Padres. So whatever, a little sign of progress there. That's the other alternative too. You figure out in the third inning, we're done. I'm going to end up pitching Freddie Galvis today.
Right. Or you're going to throw Brian Mitchell for five innings. And if he gives up seven runs, then so be it. I mean, sometimes, as you said, guys have to wear it. And I think Mitchell and is the prime candidate for that now, because even if you want a guy like Phil Hughes to wear it, he can only wear it for probably two innings.
He hasn't been stretched out a lot at all.
Exactly.
The other thing, and Jay, I mean, maybe we're getting too deep into this, but I do find it fascinating watching Andy Green think about these things is, so when Clayton Richard then is pitching, and I'm just going now, okay, if he pitches, so it's Friday, right? And let's say Clayton Richard isn't going great, right?
Right, right.
He might keep him in an extra inning or two that he wouldn't if he didn't have that game coming up on Sunday, or if the guys hadn't had to go all day Wednesday, Tuesday, and then maybe a few more on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, that's something that Clayton Richard has done in the past, because he hasn't always been as good as he has been the last seven starts.
No, of course not. But it was definitely something to watch yesterday. And I can't say that, like, I had my hopes too far up yesterday, because guy who's a ground ball pitcher, it's always going to be difficult, for him to do that, and not striking out a lot of guys. But he was pitching great, and he certainly made us think about it. And I figured as soon as I was going to give it like one more inning, and then we were going to have to talk about what sort of plans we were going to have. And I figured that would do it. Once we start making plans, that's when you know it's going out the window. But we didn't even get to that point yesterday. But Richard pitched great, and even just to get out of that inning after he did give up the couple hits was very big, and that was a good win for the Padres. And as we said, they've played well lately. The four series wins, I think it's 8 of 11, 9 of 13, something like that. But it's definitely been better to watch, guy's gotten a lot of production out of some different players. But as you noted in your story today, the one guy who usually produces wins is a guy like Hosmer.
And here's the thing, and look, three games since he struck out four times in that game, the Wednesday game against the Braves.
Right.
He struck out once this series. Well, you know, not that Hunter Renfroe was always hitting behind him, if the rest of the offense picks it up a little bit, because there is a thought among, you know, coaches, and I don't know, Eric won't acknowledge it, but, like, he has pretty much been it a lot of times. And while he won't acknowledge it, it's like, how many times has Eric Hosmer come up in a big situation and he hasn't produced? Well, he's also the only guy who has produced,
right,
really.
Now, let me I want to ask you one question that I have not given you any advance notice of, so I'm not sure if you've talked to Eric about this or not. But a guy on Twitter last week, when I did send out that note about Hosmer striking out four times for the third time this season after having done it twice in his entire career, he said that this was a product of the Padres' style, the Padres' coaching, the Padres' approach, that the Royals were a team that didn't strike out much. The Padres are a team that does strike out a lot. My initial thought was Eric Hosmer, after however many years he's played in the big leagues, is not going to suddenly just change his approach because he comes to the Padres and he's going to decide, oh yeah, these guys know how to are going to tell me how to play the game after I've done what I've done. Where do you think this stands? I mean, is Hosmer's approach any different this year, or is that just sort of a fluky thing that he happened to have, you know, a couple of four strikeout games?
He says no. Matt Stair says no. Andy Green says no. So being aware in my job, and nothing personal against any of those guys, I think they're all stand-up guys. But they don't always tell you the truth. That doesn't mean they lie, but, you know, there's a gray area that anybody who's been a journalist knows between the truth and a lie. And as far as the results, yes, he was. I don't know if he still is, probably by a slight margin, on pace for the most strikeouts of his career, and has had multiple strikeout games a little bit more early. He's a freaky hitter.
And he's also put up, the other thing was, when I noticed this and I looked it up, he's also ahead his numbers, at least going into that game where he struck out four times. Mm-hmm. His numbers, including his, you know, OPS plus and some other numbers, were all ahead of where he has been. So if he had changed his approach a little bit and had been a little bit more, sort of free swinging and not as worried about strikeouts, then maybe that was the right thing to do, because his numbers were a little bit higher, even with a few more strikeouts. I still don't believe he's changed that much.
I do believe, again, I've asked, and here's where I'll say, just give a little peek behind the curtain. Like, these questions I've asked about other players, I've gotten an answer of, yeah, here's what we're working on, and that sort of thing. You know, maybe you have to ask two or three times or different ways, but you find out. And they say that Eric hasn't changed. And so if there is a change, I don't think it's significant where we're going, oh, wow, it's swing plane, or right, his the way he attacks or approaches, because been an awful lot of production in this guy's career, all I know is what I've been told, and then when I look at the numbers, because I'm not just going to go on what I'm told, I see a guy who actually is performing very close to how he basically always does.
Right, and I think that was kind of where I went with it after, you know, this guy mentioned that to me, was I just felt like I just can't see him deciding to change his approach after, you know, all the years of success that he's had. And maybe it's something, you know, maybe it's just something ever so slight, but chances are it's more that he's, you know, seeing some guys he hasn't seen before. He's playing in ballparks where he hasn't played a lot before. I mean, who knows? I mean, two of those games came within like a week of each other. You know, maybe, you know, as you said, if he's streaky, he could be streaky, but, you know, you're going to be streaky both ways. So I don't think there's too much complaining that anybody's going to do about Hosmer at this point, other than not getting more opportunities, you know, maybe to drive in runs. But that's not on him. He plays on a team that's still last in on base percentage, you know, where it has been for the last few years. And that's something that, you know, still needs to change if this team's going to, you know, continue to make progress.
Without a doubt. Now, numbers over, pick any time. You remember that big game against the Rockies, April 23rd. Pick it from there. Pick the number from May 12th, the day that they came back and beat the Cardinals with the Hosmer's walk-off double. Pick, the start of these four series. If you take these little chunks, they are improved in all of the metrics that they want to be. Not all, not certainly not home runs per at bat, but walks per plate appearance, pitches per plate appearance, on-base percentage, batting average, slugging percentage are all at least slightly up. Balls in play, for sure. Balls, strikeouts are down over these periods of time. They are improving in these ways. They started out horribly, and I believe they are still prone to those stretches. I mean, there's still a lot of proving that needs to be done by some of these guys. And when Will Myers comes back, we'll see what that dynamic is.
Right. That's right. Will Myers isn't playing, is he?
But Hunter Renfro sure is. All right, Jay, 3 in St. Louis, and then it'll be Atlanta on Thursday, and I will talk to you then. But I will not talk to you before then. You got it?
Really? Oh, man. I don't know how I'm going to make it through these next couple of days. But looking forward to the World Cup will get me through it. So we will talk on Thursday, which is also known as the start of the World Cup. So until then, Kevin, enjoy that weather.
Thank you. Thank you, guys, for listening to Hot Lava Podcast. Talk to you on Thursday.